Hello, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Timing Podcast. I am your host, Sydney Chenamonet, and today I have an amazing trailblazer with me, Ian Michael Brock. From sister to brother, Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you on this fine Friday?
I'm doing great. I'm just so excited for this interview to get into this conversation about technology and coding and everything that is inspired by you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm excited too. I appreciate you for inviting me on board. And I think it's going to be a pretty good conversation. I'm really looking forward to those last couple of questions that you got going to throw out for me because I don't even know what they are. So I'm excited.
I think I selected a few, so just get ready for that. But Ian Brock is a 16-year-old co-founder of Dream Hustle Code and New Nerd. He's a rookie coder and soon-to-be author. For the past 7 years, Ian has been on a mission to inspire confidence in brown and black youth's interest in computer science and computer coding education, as well as show them that creating and shaping technology is possible for them. He's currently writing a book on success for kids that has led to extraordinary interviews with Oprah Winfrey, Bob Johnson, R. Donahue Peebles, Steve Harvey, and Will Packer, to name a few. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Ian and his Gen Z mentoring team launched a live virtual computer programming and personal development mini bootcamp. His unique live daily webinars have impacted hundreds of students throughout the U.S. and across the globe. Most recently, Ian was featured on McDonald's Black and Positively Golden Mentors commercial campaign. Other appearances include CBS Evening News, BET Awards, Earn Your Leisure, Van Jones Tech Town Hall, and he has also been featured online in media outlets such as Forbes, Black Enterprise, Encyclopedia Britannica, Education Week, Nike Zine, Chicago Tribune, and more. Outside of his work, Ian is an avid reader, loves to play video games and basketball, listen to music, and build and figure out mechanical products. Well, if your bio doesn't say enough about you, I'm really impressed about it.
Thank you. I know that was a pretty long bio, so I'm just glad we were able to get through it.
Yeah, it gives myself and the listeners a little look inside your personal life and what you've been doing. So I don't mind it. I think it's very impressive and really interesting.
Thank you.
So in your biography, it's noted that you have like interviewed like, what was it, 48 individuals over like the past?
I think it was 49 or 50. It's 50, 50 actually, 50.
This included entrepreneurs, Hollywood figures, and tech billionaires. So what have you learned or how have these individuals helped to inspire you to be the person that you are today?
Yeah, a lot of them, I mean, interviewing 50 highly successful people from different fields, it's, you learn a lot, right? So I started doing the interviews when I was in sixth grade. I'm a junior now. And so a lot of the people I've met or I've interviewed before, they have been huge, played huge roles in my journey towards where I am today. I mean, I've made so many different mentors, so many aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers and sisters, you name it. And so it really, they're all adding toward my village. I mean, some of the main lessons that I learned from just being around them, number one is just how hard all of these people work to get to where they were. I mean, most people think, if you put a little bit of hard work here and there, you'll get to your goals eventually. No, some people, it took them 10, 20, 30, maybe even 40 years. I mean, and it's just really amazing to hear all the different stories of how people from different cultures, from different backgrounds, how they've had their own path to get to success. Some people, you know, started off being well, being in a good family, you know, being taught well and just came into being successful on their own, or some people came from nothing. And it's just amazing hearing the different perspectives. I remember one time when I interviewed Oprah, that was probably the biggest interview. Well, I won't say the biggest interview I had, but it was definitely the first time I ever got starstruck. I mean, usually I don't get starstruck like that, but when I met Oprah, it felt like the best way to put it was it wasn't like I was interviewing a human being. It felt like I was interviewing an angel per se. I mean, or a soul or something. Like it wasn't like, it felt like the presence of something non-human. I don't know how to put it, but the biggest lesson that she taught me or that I remember was that whatever you're doing in life, you have to understand that it's not about you. And that you're just really a piece of the bigger vision or the bigger puzzle. And so you have to remind yourself not to be as selfish and remember that the work that you are doing in life, whatever it is, whether it be sports, entrepreneurship, helping others, you have to remind yourself that it's not about you. You have to remind yourself that you have to continue doing this work to serve other people. But yeah, I mean, interviewing 50 highly successful individuals has truly been a blessing. I still don't even know how I got to all 50 of them, but it's just amazing to see the growth from the beginning to even now.
Wow. Oprah Winfrey. Oh my goodness. I've never heard someone say about an interview, like interviewing someone, that it was like being in like a separate entity. I've never heard someone describe it that way. So you talking about that is just like, that's like a feeling that I want when I'm talking to and interviewing like people like yourself. Like right now, I'm feeling all kinds of emotions. I'm like, this guy is just so smart. He's like up here and he's like doing big things. Like, and that's kind of how I feel right now. And for you to be like, Oprah Winfrey made me feel like this kind of way, that was like I was interviewing something like otherworldly, that's just something that I think is really high level, in that emotionally, like that's something that not many people feel, and you have gotten that from her, and that's really cool.
Yeah, it was really a blessing. I mean, I actually got introduced to her from somebody else that I interviewed. And so, I mean, like I said, I don't know why, it was just such a different interview. It was different from all the other ones, because I interviewed the CEO of Chick-fil-A, Steve Harvey, and a couple billionaires before that, but it was just something different. I don't know how to explain it. Again, it was an out-of-body experience. It felt like I was speaking to a different entity, not from Earth, right? So, right. I mean, it was one of my favorite ones, but it also felt like I was also talking to a family member as well. It was weird.
Yeah, because like Oprah kind of has that kind of feeling, right? Right, it's like right. Whenever you're around her, she's just like a goddess, and you just like bow at her, like at her feet. Like she's just perfect all the way around.
That's all you can do when it comes to her.
Right. So tell me, who is Ian Michael Brock? Your name just shouts greatness to me, and I believe your empire will leave such a big legacy for young peers. And how does that make you feel?
I mean, what is Ian? A 16-year-old kid from Chicago who loves to play basketball, watch YouTube, loves to code, loves to build stuff, and just likes to explore different areas. For me, when I receive positive feedback like that, it really is just a testament to the amazing blessings that I have had in my life, the amazing opportunities, and just the doors that I've opened to allow me to be in the place that I am in now. I mean, it really started off with just me having amazing parents, having an amazing family, and just even having an amazing village who have groomed me to be the person that I am today. And so without them, without God, I wouldn't even be even close to where I am now. But I mean, it really just hearing that feedback, hearing people say you're doing amazing things, it's honestly a motivating factor. And it reminds me to keep pushing every single day, to keep going, to impact even more kids than what I'm doing now, because it shows that the work that I'm doing is actually helping somebody, right? I mean, there are times where I might feel like I'm not doing enough, and it may feel like sometimes I may want to give up. It may feel like I'm not doing anything to help anyone else, but just receiving that little feedback, it helps me remind myself that, hey, this work is important and you need to keep going if you want to be able to impact even more kids' lives, touch even more people's lives, and be able to accomplish my own goals for myself. But it's just really a blessing, and it's truly amazing to see how far I've come since being in fifth grade. I mean, it feels like yesterday I was in fifth grade going in the summer, going to spend some time at my grandpa's house for 2 weeks. Now I'm a junior in high school getting ready to go off to college. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. It's just like receiving that positive like feedback, and it's just like sitting like, your podcasts are like so inspiring, they're so cool, like never stop. And it's just like, I didn't know it touched people this way. Like I might as well keep going. And so I think we can really relate on that. It's just like, if this is even helping to inspire one person, then
it's worth it.
Doing it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. How did you start your dream hustle code?
That's an interesting question. So it actually started with a video that my mom came across on Facebook. It was titled What Most Schools Don't Teach. And so it was talking about the importance of computer science and how it was the future. And I was watching the video, and my first reaction was, I honestly thought coding was boring, because in the video, I didn't see anybody who looked like me, and I didn't see anybody I could relate to. They had individuals like Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, but I was 8 years old at the time, so I didn't really know who those people were. And so I thought coding was boring. But then all of a sudden, two-time NBA champ, Mr. Chris Bosh, he was talking about his experiences with coding and how he thought coding was cool. And basketball is one of my favorite sports, and Chris Bosh was one of my favorite players. And so I was like, whoa, this is really cool. One of my idols is really saying that coding is cool. So I was like, maybe I should start paying attention, and maybe I could see coding as being something that I could actually do. And so because my parents saw the reaction that I had back then, they said, how many other kids would have a similar reaction based on seeing somebody who may be a role model to them or somebody that they look up to? And so fast forward to December 2013, it was during Computer Science Education Week. And so we hosted this event called the Hour of Code event. And it's just an intro. It's basically an intro to learning how to code event. And so we hosted it at my elementary school. Everyone had a great time. I mean, we had the CEO of code.org to come in and Skype, back when Skype was more popular. He Skyped it in to our entire class, and we got a chance to have a conversation with him. We almost got Beyonce to come, but that didn't happen. Unfortunately, we were so close, but she just couldn't make it because she was on tour. But yeah, the event, I mean, it turned out amazing. Like, so many of my friends had taken some of the lessons they had learned from the event, and they took it home with them. And so a bunch of parents kept texting us and calling us and saying, what is this coding thing that my kid is interested in, and why are they so excited about it? And then a couple parents, they texted us back and said, you have all of this momentum and all of this positive feedback. What are you going to do next? And so that's when we decided, okay, why don't we start a nonprofit focused on bringing access and opportunities in computer science for kids who are underserved as well as underrepresented in the tech space. And so ever since then, I mean, we started, 2013, 2014? And then we just kept going from there, doing more Hour of Code events, hosting even a summer coding camp in 2014, and then going into leading our virtual computer science and personal development camp that we're doing now. So, I mean, it all started from one video and my role model or somebody I looked up to, him saying three words, coding is cool. I mean, if he never would have said that, I probably would have never gotten interested in the coding in the first place. And I'd probably be in high school trying to play ball somewhere right now. So, I mean, those three words really changed my life.
Wow. I mean, like, just those three words. It's just like, if you see someone that you've looked up to and it's like they talk about something that you never really thought of before, it's just like, well, they're doing it. They're really cool and I really like them. Why don't I do the same thing? So what do you think that goes to show where it's like, if someone sees like a celebrity or like someone they look up to, for an example, like you saw Chris Bosh, and if it weren't for him, you probably wouldn't be where you are today. So what do you think that goes to show for like other people who may see someone that inspires them and they want to do something? What do you think that represents?
I mean, I think it's crucial because it really means everything. I mean, our motto at Dream Hustle Code is if you can see it, you can be it, right? So if a kid can see somebody that looks like them and somebody they can relate to, then they'll want to emulate that person. They'll want to grow up and be like that person. I mean, that's the only reason why you have so many Black kids trying to be basketball players and trying to be rappers, is because we see so many other people or so many people who look like us who are successful in that space. And so it's critical to be able to have role models or just somebody you can look up to, because by having those role models and having those people that you can just strive to be like, it influences and it really influences the next generation to figure out what it is that they can do. And so, I mean, it's played a huge role in our culture. I mean, think about it like this. Without Michael Jordan, I mean, who knows how many kids wouldn't be playing basketball. Without having that model, that person, that like superstar, lack of a better term, I mean, who knows how that might have worked out in our community. But role models are important and essential in order to get more kids to be involved in a certain field.
Exactly. I agree, because like for me, it was Misty Copeland. I'm a ballet dancer. If I didn't see another African-American woman being a principal dancer for one of the best ballet companies in America, I probably wouldn't have shown no interest in being a ballet dancer. And right. It's okay. Like, who else? Missy Copeland, Michelle Obama, all of these good role models, and us being, you know, Black people in 2021, it's just like, who are we looking for that we can kind of stand off of and be like, well, they look like me and they're in this such high and like successful place, I can get there too. So I agree that I think that if we see people that look like us and like we see what they can do, it only inspires us to do the same.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better.
So talking about your business once again, what were some of the challenges that you've gone through when you were trying to come up with this, like with the code.com programs and all the things that you have hosted? I'm sure that there were a few bumps in the road.
Yeah, I mean, there was, I think the biggest challenges that we faced, actually, it involves a story. So in 2017, 2018, we were raising money to take a group of high school kids from Chicago and Wisconsin to come and take a trip to Silicon Valley. And so during that process, I mean, it was so frustrating because, you know, you get all, you're going after sponsors, trying to raise money for a trip like this. And then you get somebody who commits to paying or funding the last part of a trip, right? And so they say, you know what, we're going to fund this last part of the trip and we're going to serve it. So you can take this trip to Silicon Valley. And this was probably the biggest challenge we faced, but literally the last day before we had to submit the money for placing the orders and scheduling the trip and scheduling the hotels, those two backers, they backed out at the last minute. And so, like, we had planned this trip. We had been raising funds for a whole year, spreading the word. I even told my closest friends that we're going to take this trip during the summer. And so the biggest challenge was, I mean, going through situations like that, it really, you have to kind of start second guessing yourself and start thinking, is this something that I want to do? Should I give up on it? Should I move past it? I mean, what should I do? And so you start doubting yourself and your ability to execute and your goals. And so, I mean, facing challenges like that, I mean, those are just tough bumps in the road that we had to come across, and, you know, just feeling like giving up and just throwing in the towel and not doing anything. I mean, it's just situations like that that happen time and time again that really kind of make it tough, but it also helps you build character and look forward to the future. And so, I mean, situations that make me want to give up and quit where I'm at is part of it. Also in the business, I mean, you know, sometimes it does get lonely sometimes. I mean, in the work of an entrepreneur, you may not have other people who kind of have the same goals and have the same mindset as you. Like, you might lose friends, you might not have as many people in your corner. But I mean, just reminding yourself and looking for the small achievements that happened along the journey, it really just kind of reminds myself, it helps me remind myself that, hey, keep going. Eventually something positive is going to happen at the end of this. But yeah, it does get lonely sometimes. I'm not going to lie. You know, sometimes it's like, dang, I wish I could just go hang out with my friends for a week or not do anything. But at the end of the day, it really is worth it because I am helping somebody else and I'm not just trying to benefit myself. So, I mean, those two challenges, I'm sure there are plenty of others, but I say those are probably the two biggest ones for me.
Wow. In my head right now, I'm like, finally, someone who gets it. It's just like, sometimes you just want to like put it all aside and you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, all these bumps in the road, I'm going through all these struggles and like, how are we going to get to this if we don't have that kind of support? And like, I appreciate your honesty because people think of entrepreneurs as like these determined, like strong-minded people, or it's just like they can do anything. If they say something, it's going to get done, but they don't really recognize all of like the hardships that go along with that. So I'm really appreciative of your honesty and like recognizing that it does get hard sometimes. And I appreciate you for not, you know, throwing in the towel, like you said, and giving up, because again, you wouldn't be where you would be today.
Absolutely. And it's funny because people think that when people say, oh, they're an overnight success, not understanding how much time it took into actually getting to a certain point, because people may have seen the end result, but they didn't see the behind the scenes of the hours and maybe months, years that put into or that led to us being as successful as they only see the end result. They only see the finished product. They don't see how much time and energy and how draining it can be to get to that end result. And so I really do appreciate people like yourself who are, you know, willing to put in that time, willing to put in the energy to do something new, to be innovative, because it can be very difficult, especially being at a young age, right? I mean, we're in high school. We could be doing something else. We could be spending time with our friends. I mean, maybe because of the pandemic, but like, we could be doing other stuff, but we're choosing to benefit other people's lives. And so we need more of us like us out there. But yeah, it really is. It's part of the process. That's all it is. We just have to endure it and then something better will come of it.
Right. And that just goes to show like success doesn't come without a couple of failures along the way. And exactly. I think we're going to go off into a little break right now because we went way over time, but that's all right because I've just been enjoying this conversation so much. And you mentioned Silicon Valley. We're going to get in that into the second half of this interview. But thank you so much, Ian, for joining me thus far. And thank you to my listeners. I hope you guys are enjoying this conversation as much as I am. And we will be right back after this break.
When you leave your business, do you leave the door unlocked? When facing legal matters in the business world, do not leave your business unprotected. There is help when it comes to business contracting, even collecting past due receivables from clients. An experienced attorney is critical to resolving disputes. Don't do it alone.
At SJS Law Firm, their mission is to partner with clients to help them achieve the business of their dreams and plans with timely and strategic legal advice. Their legal counselors and advisors committed, providing individualized service that is tailored to the unique needs of your business. SJS Law Firm provides the legal support you need to move forward with confidence. Secure the knowledge that you have a legal team watching out for your best interests. Don't leave the door open. Call SJS Law Firm, serving small business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits. Call 202-505-5309. That's 202-505-5309. Or find them at the SJSLawFirm.com.
Hey, this is Sydney Trelawney, and I'm so excited to share with you my international podcast, Perfect Timing, that'll be broadcasting on Mondays at 2 p.m. through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so much more. We will have outstanding guests that'll talk about their passions, goals, and dreams. Make sure you tune in and have a seat at the table where we will create a voice for us every Monday at 2 p.m. This is Sydney Collins of Perfect Timing.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, I'm here with Ian Michael Brock, the amazing entrepreneur and coder, and we're just talking about the impact of coding and how it's impacted him and how he wants to change the world with his inspiration. So 2020 just left us. We are in 2021. What is something that you've learned or that you were taking with you into this new year that you think will benefit you for the better?
I mean, we all went through a unique, different, difficult situation, especially with the pandemic. And so one of the things, or one of the lessons that I learned in the beginning, was I learned how to be flexible and find new ways to innovate. I mean, we went from a world where, you know, you could go outside every day, do whatever you want, and more so being in person, to all of a sudden being cooped up in the house for a bunch of months and having to take everything you're doing virtually. And so what we did was we took all of our, you know, in-person experiences and we just brought them online and took them virtual. And so we were able to innovate, and we actually made a computer science and personal development camp for kids from fifth through ninth grade out of it. I mean, so in the beginning of COVID, we started that camp. We went for about 16 weeks. And so because of that, McDonald's came on board and they said, you know what, we want to partner with you on hosting a summer camp version of your camp. And so we went 6 to 8 weeks where we were able to onboard 300 kids across the nation. We had kids from, I believe, 29 different states, and kids from, you know, three different countries around the world. And so, you know, having that experience, I mean, it definitely shows, the main lesson was finding that different way to be flexible and create new ways to deal with the situation that's thrown at you. Another lesson that I learned a lot about myself as a human being. I learned what I could do and how far I could push myself past my limits, because it's crazy to say, but I got a lot more busier because of COVID. I mean, a lot of opportunities sprung from starting that camp. I was able to do a lot of interviews, talk shows, be able to talk about our mission, being able to onboard even more kids. And so I even became a part of another nonprofit where I was able to help out with their initiatives. But I was able to see how much better I could improve based on all the different things that were being thrown at me. I mean, I was getting better at time management. I was getting better at being more disciplined. I found out more about myself and how I was able to build my own self-confidence, and I was able to see myself in a different life, but in different areas. And so going into 2021 and taking all of those lessons, I think looking back into last year, I'm able to pluck from all the different areas of my life, the different times of the year. And what I'm trying to do now is take all of those lessons of being disciplined, being flexible, finding new ways to innovate, and try and find a way to combine it into my everyday life so that it just isn't stuck in one area. But man, 2020, I mean, it was definitely a roller coaster of a year. I mean, I learned so much. We lost a lot of important people, but at the end of the day, we all made it to 2021. And all you can do is just look forward to the future and see what else you can do to help out not only yourself, but help out the world.
I agree. And in a way, I'm almost grateful for it, because if it weren't for this pandemic, I probably would have never started this podcast, because my day started at like 5 a.m. and then didn't end until 12 a.m. that night. So my day was already fully packed. And then from going from that and then like COVID hitting and like everything was shut down, I was literally doing nothing all day. And so my mom was like, why don't you like, I heard like something about called like a podcast. I'm like, a podcast? What, like, why on earth would I start a podcast? Like, who has time for a podcast? And she's like, just try it. You'd be giving back to the community. Little did I know, but
it was gonna blow up, right?
Right. So I was just like, there's so many things, like you said, that I can pick pocket out of what happened in 2020 that I can use to reflect on who I am right now. And it's only made me grow in my character and like become a better person. And I was just able to really see how the world is developing and how we're all changing and realizing what's going on, like with the Black Lives Matter movement and like all these other things that are going on, and like the great things of having a first African-American woman in the office. Like, who would have thought that? Like, it's just so inspiring. It's just like, it was the worst, but it was the most developmental year I think we've ever experienced.
Right. And it really kind of forced all of us to either sink or swim, right? We either were going to, I mean, not do anything about our situation or make the best of what we got. And it really showed our true selves through facing the pandemic. So, I mean, like you say, it probably was a blessing. It was a curse, but it was also a blessing in disguise. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just like, how on earth did we get here? Like, we've gone through like the worst thing this country has ever seen. And the fact that we're still here just shows how like how strong we are. And like how you said, we lost so many important people this year, but even after them, we're still here doing what we know how to do best, which is just living and trying to be the best people that we can be.
Exactly.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to part one of part two with my episode with Ian Brock. I'm enjoying this conversation so much. We're talking about his business, Dream Hustle Code. And next week in part two, we'll be talking about what he sees for himself in the future. So tune in next week for part two.